Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
All right, happy Friday Eve. Julius, I love that term. That's a fun term.
This gets me so excited for the weekend, everybody. Let's go!
Before we get to the weekend, we've got a great show today. We'll tell you about some of the guests coming up in just a couple of minutes. But first, the things that we're tracking today.
This is the three at three on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
All right, the first one. I love this little story. Giannis. So Giannis is sitting at home last night. And he's doing what the rest of us do, just chilling in front of the TV, apparently. And he finds the Marquette game on TV. So Giannis is watching the Marquette game, and in the middle of the game, he sends out a tweet that says, "Random thought as I sit in my living room. Do I have college eligibility? Can I suit up for Marquette tonight?" Antetokounmpo writes. And so, of course, the whole world sees it.
Did right everything now, light up?
Oh, my God. It went crazy. And Marquette created an image of Giannis in a Marquette jersey. If you text the word watch right now, you can see what they created. Marquette did. It's pretty fun. It's Giannis with a big 34 Marquette jersey. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620. So Giannis texts that out. Do I have eligibility left? And guess what? Dwayne Wade, probably the best player ever to come through Marquette, he jumps on and he responds. And he says, "Well, I have 2 years of eligibility I didn't use. If he needs someone to pass in the ball and celebrate his success, as long as we can just play zone on defense." Then Shaka Smart, after the game, is asked about this, the coach of Marquette. And he says, "I appreciate Giannis even thinking about Marquette. I'd be lying if I said that I didn't say it's time for our folks to get to work in compliance and see if we can get him in here. I think we'd win every game if Giannis played. And I've been thinking all night, how would we actually play him and use him?"
That would be the most watched college basketball game in history.
Ever.
Doesn't he look good?
He looks good in that Marquette uniform, doesn't he?
That's so fun.
Yeah, that's so fun.
I love that. Number two, all this week we've been covering where John and I were this past weekend in Washington, D.C. with our Veterans of War, the Stars and Stripes Honor Flight. So I wanted to bring to you, if you text VETERAN to 855-616-1620, VETERAN to our setting limit talk and text line, it's going to show you the homecoming. The homecoming is unbelievable. Once they're done with their magical day, the equivalent of three airport concourses were full of family and friends following the flight to welcome them home. So if you text VETERAN to 855-616-1620, what you'll see is an embedded YouTube. The first video, get ready to get your Kleenex.
That's so good.
The first one is the one from Operation Baby Lift, which John covered with his little boy.
Yeah.
And he's a Vietnam veteran. The next video is even more tearjerker. It's a veteran who is hugging all of his grandchildren.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And the last one is the point of view from the family members who are kissing their father and waiting for them to come home. Then you see their faces and how they're crying themselves.
It's so good. It's so good. Text the word veteran. Hey, the third thing is a big musical announcement that's taking place today. Journey has launched their farewell tour. They're calling it the Final Frontier Farewell Tour, and it's coming to Milwaukee. They're doing 60 dates in North America, February through July. Milwaukee's near the beginning. Fiserv Forum, March 19th. Journey will be here. There is one remaining founding member, the lead guitarist, but they've been rocking since way back in the late 70s. Tickets go on sale to the general public 10 a.m. on November 14th.
You know how much I tore up the dance floor
to Journey?
As a bride for my wedding, we had a live band doing it.
Oh, that's so fun.
I would love to do that.
Take Jason out of Fiserv and go see the real thing.
Okay, I like to just, you know, stay inside a lot. So I got to do something.
Yeah, get out of the house. Your husband deserves it. Go on a cool date night. How fun would this be? Tickets on sale on November 14th.
Wisconsin's Afternoon News podcast is sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating. Your comfort is their family's tradition. Visit DaveDrakeCamp.com.
We are joined live in the studio by our friend Sergeant Efren Cornejo with the Milwaukee Police Department. Sergeant, it's so good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been nice to have here once a month. There's always surprises, so we'll see what you got for me today.
Hey, I want to start with the weekend before Halloween. There were some disturbances on Brady Street, and I want to give the department credit because they stepped in with business owners and quieted that down, and then, more importantly, came up with a game plan so that Brady Street didn't get out of control on Halloween, which is a busy, busy night down there. How did Halloween go, and how important is it to pre-plan for when you know there are going to be big events?
Well, you know, it's always hard to really determine how big of a crowd you're going to get. So we do try to do our due diligence by having additional resources. So the planning is just, very important, especially working with the businesses and in those entertainment districts was instrumental to have and ensure that the safety for everyone that's trying to partake in these festivities, right? Halloween is supposed to be fun. You're supposed to dress up. I know there's always a lot of, a contest to see who has the best costume, and people go all out. So we want people to enjoy themselves, but we need them to be safe. And, you know, it was really different compared to the weekend before. And for the most part, we didn't have too many incidents, but we, you know, occasional thing when you involve alcohol and people could get a little out of hand. I think we probably issued like a disorderly conduct ticket, and there was some other minor incidences.
Can you believe when you have to arrest someone in a bunny costume and stuff like that? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that could be tough.
Or, you know, sometimes you have some of these childhood characters that come on and you know, pop a Smurf or something.
Put Mickey Mouse in the back of a squad car.
Oh my gosh. You know, the one thing that I had heard, but I don't know if you did, and people don't understand how incredible mounted police are when they have the horses, how excellent it is as a deterrent. Did you have mounted police there or no?
Yeah, normally we do deploy our mounted patrol out there. So I can't tell you for sure because I ain't physically see them, but I know they're part of our deployment strategy.
I want to ask you about Milwaukee Police Week, or not Milwaukee Police Week, but the police week that they have in Washington, D.C., excuse me. Patty Jerving, mother of Peter Jerving, was here with us in the studio talking about the importance of raising money for Police Week, and many of your brave men and women go out there every year to honor our officers. For those of us that don't wear the uniform, I think we see it on TV but can't really relate. Why is Police Week, why is remembering those men and women important?
Well, you know, I think in general, from my experience with Police Week, right, we're out there to honor our fallen brother that paid the ultimate sacrifice. And for our officers, you know, and some of them, this is a, you know, you normally take out the people that were close to him, whether they were academy class, his people he worked with on his shift, at his district, his family, and, partners, some of the investigators that were involved. And this is kind of like the last grieving opportunity in our profession, where we go out there to D.C., his name gets etched on that on the National Monument, and we, you know, there's a candlelight vigil, and then there's the memorial. So it's very important, in my perspective, having attended these in the past, to feel that grief, to go through that grieving process and see just how wonderful our fallen hero is honored, and the ones throughout the whole country during that week.
Wow, Patty Jerving was telling me that was the most moving part, was the candlelight vigil and being amongst other families who were dealing with the same exact type of grief. It was so healing and cathartic. Also, you had the Merit Awards ceremony, and fallen Officer Kendall Quarter and his partner, who survived, Officer Christopher McRae, were honored after they were ambushed by gunfire over the summer. You were there. What was that like?
You know, it was very, I'd say, you know, it got emotional. I know there was several individuals still feeling the pain from the loss of Officer Quarter. There was other individuals there that were being honored too, that were close to losing their lives, right? That were also feeling the same, you know, I'm sure relief that they were able to come through, but also sad because we did lose a brother. It was very powerful.
Yeah, Officer Daniel Gonzalez, was a guy who could have been killed. He was shot twice, once in the chest, and he received an award. And to see the emotion flowing out of him and then his brothers with him at the ceremony comforting him. Can you talk briefly about the community, the camaraderie that exists between officers?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is a very big bond that you build, especially with your partner in your squad car and your fellow officers. You know, you spend 8 hours at least, if not more, in the squad car with them. You know, we have a lot of humor, and they become your brother and your sister. You know, you treat and you want everyone to go home, because that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to serve our community, but we also know the risks, and we do whatever we can to make sure and ensure our brother or our sister gets home.
You got great stuff coming up that the Muni community can become involved in. Give us a couple things that's on the calendar that we should know about.
Yeah, so we have a couple of fundraisers coming up to help our officers raise money to be able to go to attend National Police Week. One of those, it's coming up, is here on Wednesday, November 12th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Brick Pub and Grill. That's located at 6343 North Green Bay Road in Glendale. They'll be donating 10% of meals to help raise funds. This is for dine-in or carry-out for officers to attend National Police Week. We also have a volleyball tournament November 15th. Registration's at 9:30 a.m. And they play from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Kelly's Bleachers at 6805 South Loomis Road in Windlake. And then we have Docs down here on 754 North Velar Phillips. They'll be hosting a fundraiser Packer Bear game on December 7th from noon to 8 p.m. So proceeds there will all go to help officers be able to offset costs for Police Week.
Just what we were talking about. Get those officers to Police Week. I was just in Docs, by the way, for dinner the other night. It's a really fun place, and they support our law enforcement, so we should support them. Sergeant Cornejo, it's always great to have you here. Thank you so much for making some time for us, and thanks for what you do for our city.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure.
See you next month.
Thank you.
Okay, this is a very special five-day forecast, John, because we have the S word in our five-day forecast.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's special because we have Craig Coplean.
That's what I was thinking.
Me too.
We have meteorologist Craig Coplean with us. Okay, so Craig, when will we see flurries?
Yeah, so it looks like Saturday afternoon and Saturday night.
Okay.
But it doesn't look like it's going to accumulate, at least not on the roads. There might be as much as an inch or less on the grass, but I think the roads will be mainly just wet. Areas along the lakeshore may not get any snow at all because it'll be just slightly warmer there. So, yeah, I think most places outside of that area, the lakeshore area, probably going to see your first snow of the season. But it doesn't look like it's going to be all that impactful.
Well, and Friday is warm. We could hit 60 tomorrow. So what role does that play in how likely it is the snow sticks on Saturday?
Well, it plays a role in that the ground just in general is still pretty warm. And, of course, the air going into the weekend will be pretty warm. You're right, John. Highs around 60 tomorrow. So what a nice start to the weekend, right? But, boy, it is going to get lousy so, so fast. On Saturday, the day the snow moves in, we may actually make it into the low 40s before the rain and snow comes in. So the way Saturday plays out is we start with rain at sometime late morning or so. Rain moves in. And then as the day goes on, the temperature goes down, and that's when we'll see in mid-afternoon or so. First to the west of Milwaukee and then closer to the city later in the mid-afternoon or maybe early evening hours, we'll see the rain gradually change over to snow, and then we'll have wet snowflakes falling through the at least first half of the night. It probably won't end. I mean, it probably will end by around midnight or so. But when the temps go down, oh my goodness. So Saturday's just going to be lousy because of the rain and snow. Sunday's going to be lousy because it's going to be our first bout of winter cold this season. We're looking at highs on Sunday just in the middle 30s, and wind chills not doing any better than around 20, maybe low 20s at best. Windy on Sunday, it's going to be cold.
I'm going to be so busy this weekend. So on Saturday morning, I'm going to be on the roads really early. Then all day Sunday, I'm going to be going up north down. This is going to be the worst driving day maybe because, you know, Craig, so many people forget how to drive when there's even
the
a little bit.
First one, especially.
The first little, anything, bit of snow.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm pretty confident that snow on the roads won't be a problem, but there will be wet. There's no question about that. And maybe a little slush here and there. So at the very least, you know, the roads will be not in perfect driving conditions just because of the fact that they're going to be wet. And then on Sunday, for any driving around, the biggest impact is going to be wind. It's going to be real windy on Sunday. That might impact driving just a little bit as well.
Look at that Packer forecast. So I'm looking at Sunday in Green Bay. It's a high of 36. That's the high, and it's likely to snow, it says, in Green Bay on Sunday. Low there's 24, so about freezing maybe at kickoff.
Yeah, so they play Monday night this week, right?
Oh, you're right. Sorry. You are. Look at Monday. So Monday, the high is only 38. So
right.
At night, it's not going to be 38. At night, it could be,
no,
I don't know.
I would imagine kickoff will be something in the low 30s.
Oh,
maybe
I wish it was still
30, 31, 32.
I wish it was on Sunday. The
snow is fun, isn't it?
It makes it so much more fun.
Hey, Craig, when is the average for snowfall? Isn't it early November on average for Milwaukee?
It is. Yeah, we just passed the date. Now, I'm going to try and quickly see if I can open up my calendar. But we did just pass the average date of the first snow.
I saw that, too. I thought it was maybe
November,
the 3rd or 4th. Second,
November
2nd.
Okay. Yeah, the 2nd is the average of the first trace of snow. And that may indeed be what actually officially gets recorded on Saturday night. That is not much more than a trace. Maybe a couple of tenths of an inch. That's about all I would expect with this weekend snow. But it indeed is going to be, you know, it's going to be that first milestone of the cold season, seeing flakes flying around for the first time since last winter.
Hey, give us a peek ahead when you look into next week. Are we going to warm back up?
Yeah, we are. It's going to take just a little bit of time. So I told you how cold Sunday's going to be, and Monday's going to be no bargain either, with highs only in the 30s again on Monday. But then we get into the 40s on Tuesday and around 50 on Wednesday and Thursday. So, yeah, we're going to pull out of it pretty quickly. Unfortunately, you know, it's going to be this weekend that things are kind of lousy. And I know for folks who are putting off, like, the, you know, the raking of the leaves,
right,
or getting the patio furniture put away and maybe had this weekend targeted for that, it's not going to be great.
It's not. Meteorologist Craig Copley. Hey, Craig, thank you. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
It could also be a dicey weekend if you're headed to the airport, and not because of the weather. Tens of thousands of flights are set to be canceled. The limitation in the air is set to begin tomorrow. We're already learning more information about who will be impacted. ABC's Alex Stone is with us. Alex, 40 major airports, lots of flights, and we're just getting more detail, right?
Yeah, no, it's not going to be good if it's really carried out, John, the way that they are saying that it will be. This has potentially a major problem for anybody traveling. The airlines were given an hour's notice, an hour's heads up yesterday before the FAA announced that it would begin canceling 10% of flights. And this is to reduce strain on this system, as so many air traffic controllers now, and TSA, but really this is about air traffic controllers, are calling out sick because of the government shutdown. And it is 40 major airports. It is those around New York, Atlanta, Houston, Chicago, Denver, LA, Seattle, all over the place. And all across the country, everything that feeds into those will have flights cut, and it's going to be a mess. The TSA administrator announcing that they got to do it.
We have decided that a 10% reduction in scheduled capacity would be appropriate.
And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says this comes down to safety, that we are now at a critical point where staffing is so light in control towers and air traffic control centers that to keep the skies safe, they've got to reduce the number of planes in the air, and that they've had to shut down so many towers and really reduce the numbers flying into certain areas that they've gotten to the point where so many folks are calling out sick now, saying that they can't come in because they haven't been paid in a number of weeks, and they don't have money for childcare or for gas or for food, or they're burned out working 6 days a week, 10 hours at a time, and they can't come in. But Duffy's saying,
in the end, our sole role is to make sure that we keep this airspace as safe as possible. This is about where is the pressure and how do we alleviate the pressure.
So this is going to be 10% of flights cut out of those airports in and out. It'll begin tonight into tomorrow with 4% of flights and then ramp up to 10%. But that is thousands of flights and hundreds of thousands or more of flyers who have had going to have their flights canceled. Delta and United are already beginning to do it. The CEO of Frontier is saying if you are flying out, that you should book on multiple airlines right now, likely refundable, if you don't want to get stranded somewhere if your flight is canceled. He's saying this is really serious. You're going to get stuck. You got to be ready. Henry Hartvelt is an aviation industry consultant. He says he's never seen anything like this.
This is going to be an unimaginable, unprecedented, unwelcome, unpleasant level of chaos.
So the airlines, they've got to make these cuts to comply with it, and that there is some things that some airlines are going to be able to do. There are some things that they can swap out bigger planes. So let's say you've got 3 737s going to Denver. Now they can swap out those three for 1 777 if they've got it available, and you can still get everybody out. So there are workarounds. This is about the number of planes in the air, not the number of passengers that you're flying around. So if they can reduce the number of planes, they have achieved that. And with the European summer into fall travel season winding down, they have bigger wide-body planes that are more readily available. But if you're Southwest or Frontier or Allegiant or Spirit, you can't do that. You don't have bigger planes. So depends on the airline that you're going to be on. But we talked to folks at airports today, and they seem kind of unready for it. This guy's going to Denver. He's coming back on Saturday. He says he's just going to have to deal with it. He's not going to buy multiple tickets.
No, there's no plan. Yeah, I'll just sit at the airport all day and wait.
And that may be what people are doing. We'll find out. So theoretically, the impacts could begin tonight, but likely more tomorrow and then moving into the weekend.
ABC's Alex Stone. Alex, thank you.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
So we're scheduled to fly out on Saturday at 8 a.m. to go see our new little grandbaby, Theo, in New York.
First time.
Yep. So we're scheduled to fly out at 8 a.m. So right now, everything's still on track, but it's only Thursday. So who knows what happens Saturday. So if you think about it, at a place like New York, we're flying into LaGuardia. If 10% of the flights are not flying in there, that means that's about 50 flights because they have about 500 flights a day that land there. They're also saying, though, that most of the flights that will be canceled are on small commuter airlines. So if you're flying into New York from Syracuse or from Albany or from Bangor, Maine, that flight's more likely to be canceled than if you're flying in from a hub. And we fly from Milwaukee to Chicago and Chicago to New York. American has also said they're not cutting any flights that are between hubs.
Okay.
And Chicago and New York is a hub. So theoretically, we should be okay, but none of us know, right? We could get to the airport on Saturday and be out of luck.
Oh, I thought you were doing a direct.
Yeah, nope, we're going hub to hub. So we fly to Chicago, and so we'll see. We'll see. What can you do, right? There's nothing you can do.
You're going to see that baby no matter what.
Oh, yeah. If I have to give Michelle a piggyback ride all the way to New York, we're going to see that baby. Seriously, we have talked about, though, we will get in the car and drive. We will. If our flight gets canceled, we will be in the car the second we find out, and we'll just drive. I mean, we will not be denied. It is 356 at WTMJ.